Welcome again to the Christian Service Center for another insightful teaching of God's Word. Blessings.
Okay, I'm going to open in prayer. It's glad to see everyone here tonight. Those who are watching online, welcome. Heavenly Father, there's something new in your Word every time we look at it, Father. For those who say that your word gets old and it's boring, they need to receive a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit, because your word is new every morning. Your word is fresh every morning. And Lord, your word still has the power to change us, to heal us, to deliver us, to make us complete and whole. And without you, we can do nothing, but with you, we can do all things. So, Father, as we look at this subject that you put upon my heart to share with your people tonight, I thank you for your anointing. And I stand here relying upon your Holy Spirit, Father, because this is a different way that you've prepared me to share this tonight, because you gave me a lot of scriptures, but you didn't tell me exactly how you wanted me to present them. So I'm just trusting you and relying upon you to present that which you want shared with your people tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we're living in difficult times. We're living in times of uncertainty. We're living in situations and circumstances that we may not know what we need to know at that particular time, and we have to trust God. We just have to look to God. Whether we understand it or we don't understand it, it doesn't change who He is. He's still faithful, and He's still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I want you to turn your Bibles to start with. Go to Isaiah chapter 55. That's not the scripture He gave me initially, but it was the second scripture He gave me. And I said, okay. Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And That's one of my favorite scriptures, and I have it memorized. But when I read it this time, there was 4 words that jumped out at me. Because when we're walking through this life as Christians, we encounter things that we don't completely understand, and we may not be getting an answer immediately regarding those situations. And the 4 words were, your ways are not my ways. And then he says in the next verse, my ways are higher than your ways. And then he asked me a question. Why do you still want to do it your way in certain aspects of your life? And I'm like, I don't. He goes, well, you have to, there's only one way to do things, and that's His way. Why? Because His ways are higher than our ways. His ways are better than our ways. He has a better purpose and a plan for our life. And then he says, okay, now then I want you to go to the scripture that I gave you first. So I'm going to go back over to Proverbs chapter 16. Starting in verse 1. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord with the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. That's a whole nother teaching. Because if we're allowing the Lord to prepare our hearts in everything we do, I think the things that come out of our mouth would be a lot different. Because he says the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Well, the answer from this tongue is not always of the Lord. We are guilty of saying things and doing things that we shouldn't say and we shouldn't do and speak out of this mouth. That's why David said, set a watch over my mouth and keep the door of my lips. He knew. James talks about this little tiny thing is dangerous. But yet, we just blurt things out sometimes. But that's not what I want to talk about tonight. That's another message. Verse 2 says, all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes. How many times in your life or my life, we look and go, oh, everything's going great. Through these eyes, everything looks like, yep, we're on the right track. But then we hit a roadblock or we hit a hurdle. Now, in track, what does a hurdle cause the athlete to do? It causes the athlete to have to jump over it. You can't go under it, and you can't go around it. Because if you do, you're disqualified in that race. Well, see, we're in a race, and when we're on that path or that way that we think we should go, guess what we do? We go under and we go around. And it disqualifies us to understand and know what God's way in that situation, because we're trying to avoid going God's way. We're wanting to go another way. We're wanting to go under the hurdle or around the hurdle. God's saying, no, you got to go over the hurdle. You got to go over those obstacles in our lives. And it says, all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but what does the Lord weigh? What does the Lord look at? He looks at our spirit. Is our spirit in a state of rebellion, or is our spirit in a state of, yes, Lord, I'll do it your way. Yes, Lord, I want to follow your path. Yes, Lord, I want to go the direction you want me to go. Those are the things that the Lord was speaking to me when I was reading that passage of Scripture. Now, stay in chapter 16 and go down to verse 25. It says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, it's not always talking about physical death. You know, it says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man. Have you ever been doing something in your life and it seems, oh, this is just right? But the end, because we continue to do it our way, doesn't lead to life in Christ Jesus. It leads to, as it says here, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, when I was in New York City, there was an Italian gentleman that was famous for singing a song, and it was played in New York all the time. And it was Frank Sinatra. And Frank Sinatra sang the song about my way. I don't know the status of Frank Sinatra's relationship with Jesus when he died, but Frank Sinatra, if he did it his way, he didn't end up in the way that God wanted him to go. He didn't go the way of heaven. I don't know that, and I'm not saying that now, so don't, if you're listening on the internet and I said that Frank Sinatra went to hell, I'm not saying that, okay? I'm just saying that he was famous for singing a song, My Way, okay? Now then, In turn back to chapter 14 of Proverbs. Proverbs is loaded with a lot. Because in 16:25 it says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Now that must be important because in chapter 14, verse 12, it says exactly the same thing. It says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end there are other ways of death." It says it twice. And then okay. Help me, Lord, here. So far, God has a certain way that he wants us to go. We can do it his way or we can do it our way. I don't want to see a show of hand, but how many times have you done it your way and it hasn't worked out very well? I could give you a list and my wife could give you more than one list. Okay? Go over to Isaiah chapter 53. We know this chapter in the Bible very well. Go to Isaiah 53. Now, growing up on a farm, I understand this scripture very well. Okay? Isaiah 53, verse 6. What does God refer us as in the Bible? What does he call us? He calls us sheep, right? Okay. Listen to what it says in Isaiah. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to God's way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's not what it says. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. See, our hearts are born with wickedness in it. And I remember Pastor Bill one time, he said, "Do you ever notice that you don't have to teach a child how to do the wrong thing? You have to teach a child how to do the correct thing." Because it's their heart and it's our tendency, because we're born in it with a sin nature, to do that which is contrary to God's way. And it's only when we get saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost that God begins to change and we no longer that old man, but we become a new creation and we start to go in the way that God wants us to go, not this way. But see, before we knew Jesus, we had gone astray. We had turned everyone to his own way. Look at what's going on in the world today. You hear it all the time. Well, I just don't want to do that. Why? Because they want to do it their way. They want to do their thing. But we're going to find out that that's not the best thing to do. Our way is not the best way to go. Now, let's go back to Proverbs and let's go to chapter 21. And I want to go to verse 2. Oh, now this sounds very similar to what we read in Proverbs chapter 14 and Proverbs chapter 16. It starts out with, every way of man is right in his own eyes. Isn't that what it said in those two previous scriptures we read? Yes, it is. But the last part of this changes. But the Lord pondereth the hearts. When God was getting ready to choose David as the king, and he sent Samuel, correct, to the house where all the brothers were. And what did he say? He says, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the inward. Okay? And what was it that got God's attention? It was the heart of David. It was David's heart. See, when we're doing it our way and we've gone in the wrong direction, we've turned away from God, and we get our heart right, God looks at that heart and he says, you know what? I'm going to order your steps. I'm going to direct you to go here. I'm going to direct you to go there. There's so many men of God that you hear that from. Carter Conlon comes to my mind immediately because he didn't like people. I mean, and God just got a hold of him and says, okay, we're going to direct you here. We're going to direct you there. Now, the best part about when God shows us his way, thank God he doesn't show us the end. He shows us a little bit and says, okay, take these steps. He's a very compassionate and loving God. When you're a little child, does a baby come out of the womb sprinting? No. The baby comes out of the womb in need of the loving care of those parents. The parents take care of every aspect of that child. Think back when you first got saved. God very gently takes care of you. Gently, I remember going to a Bible study and they said, turn to Psalm 15, and I'm going. You know, I didn't have these little tabs on it to tell me what book. I didn't know where that was. But God just very gently guided someone sitting next to me and says, here, let me have your Bible. And turned it. That's what he does. Then you start to crawl. Then you start to walk. Then you start to walk faster. Then you start to jog. Then you start to run. There are steps that God takes us on the way to being fully mobile and moving in this body. He does the same thing to us spiritually. Thank God he does, because if, I remember Pastor Bill telling me this, I haven't talked to Pastor Mark about this, but I'm sure, well, Pastor Bill said, I thank God he was very, very gentle and kind in leading me in his way. And he didn't show me all the things I was going to have to go through before I got to the place he wanted me to be. Because you know what? We would have turned and gone the other way. I'm not doing that. But that's not how God works. God very gently will lead you and show you here, go there. And he'll show you your mistakes. Okay, let's repent. Let's get back on the right path. He's a very gentle and loving God. But it says here that but the Lord pondereth the hearts. See, he looks at your heart and my heart. And sometimes we are our own worst enemy because we think we're not doing anything for God. We think we've missed it. And sometimes we have. And we just beat ourselves up. We just tear ourselves down. I'm not any good for God. I might as well just check out. You know what? That's not the way God sees it. God sees what we're going through. He knows what we're going through. He knows how we're going to get out of that which we're going through. And he's not sitting there condemning us. He's saying there, look to me. Trust me. And you understand what I'm saying when I get to the end of what the Lord has showed me. Now, I want you to go over, because he gave me a couple different situations. I want you to go over to 1 Samuel. I want you to go over to 1 Samuel chapter 15. And I'm going to read verses 10 through 23, and then I'm going to come back and take a look at some stuff here. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me. What was he doing? He's going back to his way. And hath not performed my commandments, and it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose up early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and has gone about, and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou the Lord, I have performed the commandments of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. That's not what God told him to do. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thy own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners and Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and brought Agag, the king of the Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fats of the rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from king. What did Saul do wrong here? Well, he says it right here in verse 20. And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way of the Lord which sent me. That's not true. That wasn't the way that God sent him. God told him to go destroy the Amalekites and every aspect of what they owned. And he didn't do that. He goes, we'll kill all of them, but we want to keep some of those really good prized animals, those prized stock. Now, here's our nature showing up in Saul. Because what does he say in verse 21? But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed. See, he knew they should have been utterly destroyed. He knew that. And sometimes, when we are not doing exactly and going the exact way that God wants us to go, and we get caught, what do? We point the finger to someone else, and we put the blame on someone else, and it's their fault, Lord. No. It wasn't the people's fault. Saul didn't do what God told him to do. Saul decided to do it his way, not God's way. But he got caught. You know what? We're all guilty. We've all been caught somewhere along the line. But what's been our reaction? I'm sorry, Lord, I didn't do it exactly what you did. I repent. Or do we blame it on someone else? Well, if they would have told me that, I wouldn't have done that. If they would have preached that word, I wouldn't be in this situation. No, that's not true. Saul decided to do it his way, even though God told him a specific way he was to do things, and he didn't do it. And it says, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and adultery. See, there's consequences when we try to do it our way. Yes, God is merciful. Yes, God is long-suffering. Yes, God is gracious. But God wants us to get us on a track. And Pastor Mark blessed me so much on Sunday, because after he was done and he was exhorting and talking about praise and worship and what it does when you enter into praise and worship. And I had an experience Monday night of just probably, I don't even remember, it's probably 2 hours or more. I just put on some praise and worship. Sue was in bed. She wasn't feeling well. And the presence of God, the presence of God inhabits praise. It inhabits worship. And things that were not clear, things that I may have not understood with situations going on in my life, it all started to get clear. The fog started to leave. Things that were uncertain. What am I saying? Is that little exhortation he gave on praise and worship, if you're not sure of God's way, I encourage you to do what he said. Just get alone. Put on some good praise and worship music. Put it on where it repeats and goes over and over and over. But I found a track that just played it for probably 2 hours. I don't remember. It wasn't over when I said, the Lord said, okay, go to bed. But there's something in it. God's presence leads to God's ways and God's direction. Now, in Deuteronomy, this is something I remember from Pastor Mark and Christine when the kids were in school. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. This was a very common scripture. Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 6. I'll start in verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as thy frontlets between thy eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Thou walkest by the way that God is directing you. God wants to direct our steps, our path. I like to go grocery shopping. People say, grocery shopping, that's boring. People can be very rude. It's a spiritual thermometer for me, because you can see the hearts of people by how they leave their carts in the aisle. They walk by someone who's in a one of those electric carts that's trying to reach something on the top shelf. You know, there's a lot of things that you see when you're grocery shopping that tells you the condition of a person's heart. Cart's this way, no one can get by. They got some selfishness they need to deal with. But see, God knows all that about each and every one of us. And go to Genesis 18. like I said, the Lord had me write down a lot of scriptures, but I just got to go as he leads. Genesis 18. Okay, I'm going to start in verse 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. Oh, Abraham was going to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abram that thing which I do? Seeing that Abram shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him. Does God know you? Yeah, he does. He knows your name. He knows who you are. For I know him, and he will command his children and his household after him that they shall keep the way of Abram. No. They shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment that the Lord may bring upon Abram that which he has spoken of him. God has a plan and a purpose for you and I. And if we keep the way of the Lord, he's going to make that direction and that plan and that purpose clear. Just as he said here. Why? Because he knows us. He knows who you are. He knows you by your name. He will speak to you. He will show you the directions and the place he wants you to go. But he also knew that Abram would keep the way of the Lord. Was Abram greatly blessed? Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was. He was very blessed. Now, while you're in Genesis, move over a few chapters and let's go to chapter 35. Starting in verse 1. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel. Does anyone know what the word Bethel there means? It means the house of God. And dwell there. And make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. Have you experienced any distress in the last month? Are any of you watching online? Have you had any distress in your life? Well, it says here that Jacob, that God answered him in the day of his distress. Don't think that God doesn't hear and doesn't know what distress you're in and what's going on in your life. He's going to answer you in the midst of that distress. And then he says, and was with me in the way which I went. He's going to show you the way that he wants you to go to be delivered out of that distress, out of that situation or circumstance. So, in the midst of distress, God is there to show you his way. He doesn't want you to stay there. He doesn't want you to linger there. He's going to show you a way. He's going to lead you and walk you out of that area of distress or discomfort or whatever you're going through. Because he's faithful. He's faithful to do that. Now, Exodus. Go over two books. Go to Exodus 13. I mean, I went on a trip through Old Testament, New Testament, back to Old Testament, back to New Testament. Exodus 13. Okay, we know this story. Starting in verse 17. And it says, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines. Oh, that was near. See, a lot of times we want to take the shortcut. We want the easy way. God doesn't always lead us the easy way. God leads us the way that will produce that which needs to be produced in you and I to be more in the image and likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. Though that was near, for God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them in the way. And by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. And as I read verse 21, the Lord says, I want you to stop. I want to speak to you something. It says, and the Lord went before them by day in the pillar of the cloud to lead them the way, the pillar of the cloud, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. See, whether we're walking in the light or we're experiencing darkness in our life, God is there to lead us and direct us, whether it's in darkness or whether it's in light. He desires to shed His light upon your life and my life to show you the path in which He wants us to go. And He did that. He did that for them. You know, He had a pillar of a cloud that led them by the way. And at night, when they couldn't see, He was still leading them by the way that He wanted them to go. But what did He do? He became their light. Guess what? When you and I are walking in darkness, who becomes our light? Jesus is the light. Jesus becomes our light. Jesus reveals Himself and shows us how to get out of that darkness and back in fellowship and walk in the light as He is in the light. That's what He does. And He does that all the time. He is so, so, so faithful. And then I'm thinking, okay, you know, Lord, I wasn't running across a lot more scriptures regarding the way. He goes, oh, yeah, you are. He goes, you're missing a very important one. You're missing probably the most important one in the scriptures. I said, yeah. And I didn't have a lexicon. I didn't have my phone on me. I couldn't type in way and see where it was going to go. And finally I got my phone and I went to the site and I typed in way. And the scripture the Lord showed me still didn't show up. I'm like, you know what? Modern technology is great, but it's not as good as the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit knows things that these Siri and all these other phones don't know yet. Okay? Now then, most of you have probably already gone there. Go to John chapter 14. Good old Thomas. Thomas taught us a lot, didn't he? Verse 5. Thomas saith unto the Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? Thomas is asking the question. How can we know the way? How can you know the way to go in your life? How can I know the way to go in my life? How can someone who's lost know the way they need to go? Well, if you're lost, just like I was lost, just like you're lost, you have to come to Jesus to know the way. Okay? And this is what Jesus said in verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So, who's the way? Jesus is the way. Jesus is the only way to salvation. Jesus is the only way to eternal life. Jesus is the only way to walk in this world and to be the person that God wants us to be. Because we know from Jesus' words in the New Testament. Well, I'm not going to paraphrase him. I'm just going to find it here. Thank you, Lord. In verse 17, he says, these words spake Jesus and lift up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given. See, verse 6 says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world, which thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. See, we know that Jesus only did that which he heard from his Father. He only did and acted on the things that the Lord, that God, his Father, told him to do. That was Jesus. Well, guess what? Do you think or do you not think? This is just a question, and I'm going to pause and just let the Holy Spirit speak to your hearts. Does Jesus have a way for your life and my life that will please God the Father? Yes, he does. Because guess who pleased the Father and died upon a cross so you and I could have fellowship and be reconciled back to God the Father himself? And that was Jesus. And the times in which we're living right now, and it kind of hit me last night listening to Carter Conlon talking about some of the stuff he was talking about. You don't know, and I don't know, and all these people that are commentators on the news and all these other people that are talking about this and talking about that, they don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. They don't know what next week's going to bring. They don't know what a month's going to bring or a year's going to bring. They don't even know who the next president's going to be because that hasn't been decided yet either. But as I was listening to Carter Conlon talk about some things last night and I had done some preparation for tonight's teaching, that still small voice whispered, whose way are you going to take a chance on? You're going to take a way of following Jesus, who is the truth, who is the life? Or are you going to take your chances on going the way of the news media or the forecasters. He goes, they'll fail you. Every one of those will fail you. They'll fail you somewhere along the line. Even as Christians, we sometimes fail one another. Even with the right motives and the right heart, we sometimes fail one another. I can stand here tonight and say the only one that's never failed me since 1979 is Jesus Christ. Jesus has never failed me. Jesus has never left me. Jesus has never forsaken me. Jesus has never led me down the wrong path. Jesus has never told me to go in the wrong direction. Now, he's put that shepherd's hook around my neck and says, get back over here where you belong. But it's out of love that he does that. He doesn't do that because he's a dictator. He's not. He's a loving God introducing you to a loving Father who has your best interest and my best interest, and he's saying, your way doesn't work. I don't care how famous that song was with Frank Sinatra, don't let it get lodged in your heart and let you start singing my way. It's not my way, it's God's way. It's Jesus. Jesus as the way. That has to be our direction and the motive of our heart. It has to be, Lord, I want to do it your way. I want to follow Jesus. If we follow Jesus, what way are we going to go? We're going to go the straight and narrow path. Because it says there's a way that's very wide. It's a wide path. But what does that wide path lead to? Leads to destruction. What does that narrow way lead to? Eternal life with Jesus Christ. So, have you ever been on a hike through a path that has rocks and there's a big pathway about 10 feet beyond where you're gonna get to, but to get from where you're at to that wide open trail to continue your walk is a very narrow. You just have to turn sideways and kind of squeeze your way through to get to the other side. You ever been down one of those paths? I've been down that path more so spiritually than I have physically. Because there's sometimes God gets us to a place that he has to squeeze us. And I never will forget, Pastor Mark, that message you did on Jesus juice. Early in my walk, I'm going to tell you, when I got squeezed, there were still some things in this temple that I didn't realize were still in this temple. And they got squeezed and they came out. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. But as we mature in Jesus and as we get squeezed, because the way gets narrower, it should be Jesus' juice. It should be the way and the path that Jesus wants us to go. So we can be more in the likeness and image of him. And guess what? Lord, I don't know why you're bringing this to my attention. I don't even know the complete words of this song, but I'm just going to be obedient. There's a song that some companies use all the time. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. I mean, that just came to me right now, and I'm not good at memorizing songs. And that song just came to me. But as it came to me, the Lord goes, no, that's not what the world needs. It just doesn't need love, sweet love. It needs Jesus' sweet love. It needs the love of Jesus. And the love of Jesus is what will cause the world to be a better place. And as Pastor Christine says all the time, love never fails. And I hear people in the world say that all the time. Oh, love will never fail. And I will ask the question, what love are you talking about? The love of God will never fail, but the love of man will fail. The love of the world will fail. Those will all fail because that's not God's way. God's way never fails. God's love never fails. God's promises never fail. Are they always on the time schedule that we want? No, unfortunately, they're not. Do we get frustrated when the way that we want to go is not on the same time frame of God's schedule? Yes, we get upset. If you don't get upset, praise God. I need for you to pray for me before I leave tonight. Because we don't, well, the Bible is very clear. How do we learn patience? What was that?
Tribulation.
You know how we learn patience? By waiting. Do you ever notice you pray for patience and you go to the store and there's a line 15 feet long and you're the last one in that line and you're in a hurry to get somewhere and you got to wait for 14 people to go through and 12 of the 14 are talking like they haven't talked in a year to the checkout person. But once again, the Lord's way, as we read, I'm going to go back and read it again. I'm going to go back and read Isaiah 55. See, we have to know this in the times in which we're living. We have to know this. No matter what's going on in the world, we have to know this. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Thank God. Thank God that God's thoughts are not my thoughts, are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways. Praise God that my ways are not his ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. Why? Why is God's children, wouldn't we want to do it his way? If his ways are higher, if his ways are better, why wouldn't we want to do it his way? Why do we still struggle with wanting to do it our way? It's the old man. The old man's not completely dead. Still, the old man has to die. When that old man dies, then Jesus steps in. And we do it his way. And going back to John 14, I'm going to go back there because the Lord just quickened me something that I... Jesus says, I am the way. It's pretty explanatory, isn't he? I am the way. He says, I am the truth. That's the most important reason, one of the most important reasons why we need to follow in the ways of Jesus. He's the truth. Jesus has no aspect or component of lying in his being. Zero. He's not going to ever lie to you. He's not going to ever lead you in something that's not true and is not important for your life. He's not going to do it because that's not his nature. He is the way, he's the truth, and if we follow in his way and we follow in his truth, what's it going to produce? It's going to produce life. It's going to produce life. You and I can have the life that God wants us to have on this earth before we even go to eternal life. But we have to do it His way. We have to do it according to the truth of His Word. I remember when I first got saved, I was in New York, been saved maybe 6 months. And another brother on the team at the time, there was someone else that was saying he was a Christian, but his life didn't show it. And the other one was coming down really hard on him. And I said, "Can I have a word with you?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "You know, you're coming down really hard on this person, and he hasn't been saved very long." He goes, "So? You shouldn't be doing that." I said, "Oh, really?" I said, "Did you immediately stop doing all the things that you shouldn't have been doing immediately?" He goes, "No." I said, "Then give him a space of time. Let God work on the individual's heart." And he goes, "Well, you're just judging." I said, "No, I'm not judging." I said, "God's word says you shall know them by their fruit. If he continues in the ways that he shouldn't be going in, and the Holy Spirit is not leading him in those ways, he's going to bear fruit indicative of a way opposite of God's way. And at some point in time, he might need some spiritual correction." Isn't that what Nathan did? Nathan said, "David, you're the man." Because David didn't do God's way. David gave in to his flesh. David gave in to his sexual appeals. He had to pay a price. See, there's only one way, and that's Jesus. Jesus is the only way. And if we do it Jesus' way, and we do it according to the truth of God's word, it will lead us in the path that God wants us to go, and it will produce life, a life of godliness upon this earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming. I hope it ministered to you. Because we have to be willing to do it God's way in the times we're living. Your way and my way is not going to work. Government's way is not going to work. All these programs and plans, there's only one way. And that's God's way. God's way has always worked. If you look throughout these scriptures, God's way has never failed. Never. And I'll just give you two stories. Said I was done, but I guess I wasn't. Two stories. God leads the people out of bondage. Their backs are up against the wall at the Red Sea. They can see the enemy coming. They can see what's about to happen to them. Was God late? No. Did it appear that God was running late? Maybe. But even God has a sense of humor. Because they were probably sitting there seeing the army attacking them, thinking, "God, you better hurry up. We're all going to be dead." What did God do? He caused the wheels of the chariots to fall off so that they couldn't move as fast as they were when they were starting to get closer. The wheels came off. So is God a God of detail? Yes, he's a God of detail. And then what did he do? Parted the Red Sea. I don't know whether you ever thought about this or pictured this, but I don't know, it doesn't say how high those walls of water were, but he parted it, and they walked across on the sand with walls of water on both sides. And I don't know what they were looking at. I don't know whether they were looking at the walls of water, but I know what I would have been looking at. I would have been looking at how far is it to the other side of that water, and how quickly can I get there, because I don't know how long that water is going to stay back. But God showed up. He showed up. They did it His way. Now, did that make sense? Did that make sense to take a group of people, put their backs to the wall, and say, okay, here comes the enemy? No, because see, God's ways are not our ways. His ways are better than our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. Then you got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, you got to stop praying. You can't lift up the name of Jesus. What if someone came up to you and said, you can't lift up the name of Jesus? Came up to me and said, you can't lift up the name of Jesus. Is that going to stop us? It shouldn't. But we have to ask ourselves that question, because we're in times where we don't know what's going to happen. But they didn't stop. So what did they have to do? They got thrown into a fiery furnace. Heat was turned up. The heat was turned up so high that a couple of people standing outside the furnace got burned alive. And they went to check on them. And there was four people inside the furnace. Clothes weren't singed. Hair on their head wasn't singed. There wasn't a burn mark on them. And there was a fourth person in the fiery furnace. My wife's listening, I almost said it. And Christine's listening, I almost said it, but I didn't. I almost said that word fiery instead of fiery. They were in the midst of that fiery furnace. And they were perfectly fine. Now, is that a normal way to do things? No. And my wife always tells me this, and she's right probably 100% of the time when it comes to this. If everyone in the world is doing it, it's probably not God. Because God's ways are just totally opposite of the world's way. And that's been a good test and a barometer for me in my walk. Well, everyone else is doing it. Yeah, that's a good reason for me not to do it. Because it's probably not pleasing to the Lord. And with that, I'm done. Thank you for coming tonight. Those online, thank you for listening. Hope you are blessed. Have a good evening and a rest of the week. And God is King and Lord of Lords.
Thank you for listening. This concludes another message from the Christian Service Center. May your life be blessed as you walk with Jesus as Lord. Blessings to all. Bye-bye.